I'd rather do it myself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with a thought for today. I'd rather do it myself. How many times have we been raised in families where the family didn't want charity? They didn't want outside help. They didn't want the neighbors helping them. They didn't want anybody giving something to them. They didn't want anyone helping them with their problems or with their diseases and discomforts and so forth. And they just didn't want anyone helping them. Well, if you were to look at every family that was too proud to let somebody else help them, you would find a family that was too selfish to help somebody else. You'd find a family that did not give of themselves. Because anytime you're in a family, or anytime you are a person, and we all are a person, anytime we are living and we have relationships, we have friendships, we have relationships with people, we have opportunities to give. We have opportunities to share. We have opportunity to see that a person needs a glass of water, and you go and you get it for them. You don't, now please, if I have to tell you that I need a glass of water and you can't be observant that I need it, forget it. The whole illustration of my illustration is lost. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I will fill my glass of water right now so that I don't get anybody confused. Now, I'm not going to let somebody give me a glass of water. I'll give myself a glass of water. It's not necessary for me to have help from the government. It doesn't necessary for me to have my neighbors come over and help me. You know, it's not necessary. But what kind of person are you? What is your nature? What is your nature? If your nature is loving and giving and sharing and just totally being outgoing as much as possible, you can be sure that you're a very wealthy person. If you are a very giving, outgoing, loving person, you have many friends. And the friends are not friends because of who you are. The friends are friends because of who they are. They're outgoing, giving, loving people. And they're not outgoing, giving, loving people because they want something from somebody else. You see, if we want something from somebody else, then we really are not giving. Now, people who are street people, they're people who do not have a home. They may have a home, but they don't tell you. Street people are people who like to live on the street. There's just sort of an abandonment attitude about it. There's sort of a casualness about it. I mean, living in those dirty clothes that they live in and pushing the shopping carts around that they shouldn't be stealing and taking things from here and there and going behind the grocery store and getting enough food to eat and things like that. People want to do that? They like to do that? Well, yes. Yes, people want to do that and like to do that. How many people have you ever gone up to, and of course the answer is none, how many people have you ever gone up to who were a street person and you said to them, I have a job for you. And what did they say to you? Mind your own business. Come, I have an extra room in my home. If you'd like to live there, you may, and then you can help around the house and do around the farm and so on. No, I don't want it. They don't want it. The government has agencies, an agency or more, where you go and you apply for a job. If you don't have a job, you apply for it. And if you can't find a job, you don't get a job, because you look so dirty and so filthy and so bad attitude, nobody wants to hire you, then the government pays you money. pays you money so that you can exist, so that you can feed yourself and find a place to live and be enough. It's not, you don't go to the theater, but the thing is that you have enough to eat and clothe yourself and place to live. Well, now, we want whatever we get in our attitudes of life, and we do that. Now, what kind of a person are you? Are you the kind of person that wants to do it yourself because you're just so you think you're superior to everybody else, you want to do it yourself? Or are you the kind of person who likes to do things for yourself, but if somebody comes along and gives you a hand, you're very grateful and you really appreciate it? And because people don't give you a hand because they think you need it, it's because they want to share. Now, was I a little shyster, a little jerk, a little crummy kid when I was a kid? Was I a little rattlesnake that nobody in the neighborhood wanted around?
No.
No. I went to the neighbors and I was the ambassador of goodwill. When any neighbor had a problem, I went to visit them and talked with them and shared with them that I thought they were nice and wonderful, and I didn't know half of what they were going through, but they didn't need to tell me, and they didn't tell me, but they shared tea or brown sugar or whatever they shared with me because I cared to come. And I shoveled my own sidewalk and I shoveled the neighbor's sidewalks. Now, I'm not saying I'm such a good boy for doing this, but my nature is giving. My nature is sharing. My nature is going out and doing things. My nature is not looking to see who's going to pay me. In fact, I never thought about being paid for things that I did when I was a kid, but I was the richest kid on the block. Because my neighbors would ask me to come over and do a job for them. I'd go over and do a job for them. I was 8 or 10 years old. And I did the job so well, they give me double. Instead of 25 cents, they give me 50 cents for cleaning up their whole house, you know? Now, that's a lot of money. And when I worked for my dad, I got the laborer's salary, laborer's wage, and it was very good. It was very good. But the thing is, all the guys who I worked with did not think I was getting a handout because I was the boss's kid. They didn't think of that at all. They did mention that because I was the boss's kid, I could come late or something, and I missed a streetcar. So, and I said, I missed my transportation to get here. You know, I wanted to be here. I want to get my hourly. I don't get paid unless I'm here. If I come an hour late, that means an hour I'm not paid, you know. And as simple as that, you know. And yes, I'm not helping you guys with the concrete and the bricks and stuff like that, but I want to be here. I got up early, and I got up to get this. But sometimes there's a blizzard. Sometimes there's a snowstorm. You know, sometimes the rain is so hard. Sometimes things are down. But, hey, they after they met me and knew me a little bit, they knew that they never had to ask me twice to do anything that I was supposed to do. And it was wonderful. But I'm saying this, the world is filled with people. People who are beggars, people who are borrowers, people who are people who get other people to do things for them, people who don't carry their load, people who join an organization and say they're going to take their share of the responsibility in the organization, and then they're a pain in the neck trying to get them to do their activity in the organization. We have people coming here to the monastery to be monks for a week, a weekend, a week, or a month, you know, or years, and they don't stay long if this isn't their thing. And we said to one woman, okay, we'd like you to clean up one of the retreats. Oh, I don't want to do that. I do that for a living. I don't want to clean up somebody else's house. I do that for a living. And we had to tell her, hey, we don't care what you do for a living. We usually try to have people do things different than what they do for a living when they come here, so they have a new experience. But we just don't have that many things for you to do. So what we want you to do is we want you to do what we ask you to do. And we don't want any back talk. Because if monks give back talks to the abbot when they're assigned to do things, there's no pleasure in Abbotsville. The abbot says, out. But I paid, I did this. No, you didn't. You came here and made a donation. And you, part of your donation was that you were going to do whatever things are asked of you, because this is part of your training in discipline, self-discipline, and love for yourself. Now, Ellen has been learning English and learning to speak English and speaking correctly and beautifully, but she has some little idiosyncrasies, little cutesyisms that make her English very difficult to understand. And she does not speak articulately and clearly at all times. She thinks that having her dialect is a charming thing because people say, oh, where are you from? Oh, you're from Switzerland. Oh, that's so charming. Oh, never change it, never change it. Well, if you met a person who came to Switzerland and spoke perfect Switzerdeutsch, spoke perfect High German, what would you think of them?
Wow.
Huh? Like a wow. Yeah, like a wow. You think of like a wow. Well, don't you think that people here in America think like a wow if you speak perfect English,
mm-hmm.
if you speak articulate grammar, if you speak the metaphors and phrases that are so common in English, and if you don't speak them, what do people think of you? They think you just don't care. You're slovenly. You're a newcomer, you're a dilettante, you're not taking it seriously. Now, is that who you are? You see, we look at the man, we look at anyone in America, the land of opportunity, that's what it's called, the land of opportunity, where everyone can have a job, where everyone can have things, whatever they want. And we have jobs in our fields, picking cotton and doing field jobs, and the people in America don't want to do that. They want to do more important things. They want to work at McDonald's. They want to get more than the minimum wage. And so they say, oh, I don't want to do that. I wouldn't do that. And then nobody's doing the job. So the farmers have to somehow find people who will do it. Well, the international travelers, they have agreed to do those things. And they would like to do those things, and they'd like to even take minimum wage, which is a lot more than they earn at home. And then they take their money, and they live on it, and then they take two-thirds of the money, or better, and send it home. Now, what a wonderful ethic, what a wonderful training. Now, there's only one thing I find difficult for them, and that is they should have a course in English, each one, to teach them how to speak English adequately to live in an English country. If they go to an Arabic country and cannot speak Arabic, and they cannot communicate to the Arabic peoples, and the Arabic peoples are not about to learn their language, whatever it may be, they don't stay long. They cannot communicate. They don't belong. So here, when people want to be part of our culture, they belong. The American Indians were disenfranchised from the American culture when they were first brought into their tribes, into their reservations. They were made to feel separate, and they were kept feeling separate. And it was unfortunate for them, because the Indians who melded in with the American society, which is a total variety of society, became outstanding Indians. And the Indians who just stayed on the reservation and found nothing to amuse them, not even they couldn't go hunting anymore. The caribou and the elk and the moose, they weren't around. The deer were very few, and they couldn't do lots of things. So when we move into a new culture, and the new culture is, let's say, Spain. So you move into Spain. And are you going to be a tourist, or are you going to be a resident? Are you going to be a resident? Are you going to be a person who lives there and works there and is part of the culture? Or are you going to just be sort of an onlooker? Well, if you're an onlooker, the Spanish people are really not too thrilled about you. If you get sick, if you have problems, if you do this, they'll take care of you, but they don't want you. They don't want you there because you haven't inculcated yourself into their community. Well, here in America, street people who choose not to work, who choose not to do things, the government will help them get a job, and there are jobs available. They're offered jobs. These men, they go and they sit at the curbside of Home Depot, and they watch when people leave Home Depot with a trailer load of equipment, and they say, would you like me to work for you today, help you set that all up and organize it? And they can communicate that, even though they speak very bad English. And they're hired. And they're hired oftentimes for a much better fee than anything else. But when you want to do something, when you want to put a cause in motion for living a happy, healthy, fulfilled, wealthy, joyful life, then you do whatever is your part to do. Are you planning on being an American citizen? Well, be a good one. Are you planning on being a monk? Well, be the best. Are you planning on being a divine being? Well, be the ultimate. What are you planning on being? Are you planning on being a slouch? Well, lots of people are slouches. And very few people like people who are slouches, who don't do their jobs, who don't do whatever they have agreed to do. And same, like here at the monastery, I said to our staff here at the monastery, as long as you want to do your job and do your very best to do it and don't complain, you're here forever. But the minute you start complaining and the minute you don't want to do your job, you're out of here. It's not because you can't do your job, it's that you don't want to do your job. If you do everything you can to do your job and everything you can to do what's asked of you, you're here. You got a lifelong ticket. But if you're going to argue with the boss, and if you're going to not do the few things that you're asked to do, and if you're going to lie about it by saying you will do it and not do it, then you're history. And that's just the way life is with all of us. Anywhere in the world loves people who share and give freely and openly and generously of who and what they are. And people say, Herb, you're unconditional love. Herb, you're generous beyond generosity. Herb, you don't want anything for yourself. You want everything to give. And yet, Herb, I have nothing, and yet I have everything. Because everything I have belongs to the university. All the money that I get in, I give to the university. And you say, well, not all of it. You use some of it for this or that. Oh, can I do that? Okay, well, that's nice. Can I not do that? Oh, okay, then I guess this isn't the place I want to be. And so we live in a world where sharing, giving, loving, being is the most important thing in the world. And if we want to go around like a street person and turn down the opportunities to earn a living that we can take care of ourselves and be a responsible person, what's the first thing about a street person that turns you off? The first thing about a street person that turns you off is they do not like themselves. They do not wash their bodies. They do not shave their beards, or at least maintain their beards. They do not keep themselves in clean clothes, or at least take their clothes off and shake them and then put them back on again, get off a pound or two of dirt. But they have that appearance of help me, help me, help me. And because they have that appearance, most people don't help them. But there are people who have that attitude about themselves, that they're going to help this person because nobody else will. And the street person goes home at the end of the day and sits in front of his large screen television, having his beer and having his other foods. And I'm not kidding you. Most of the street people, if not all of them, some love to live in their cart. They love to live in the bushes. They love to live with nothing. But that's because they have a very poor attitude about themselves. What's your attitude about yourself? Is your attitude about yourself, I like me? I don't dislike the street people. I just don't accept the image that they're putting out. Mm-hmm. I don't dislike people who are ill, but I won't accept the image they're putting out. I don't dislike people who like to go to war and fight, but I just don't accept the image that they're putting out. I don't accept that. And I will not be part of it. And so, that's who I am. I am generosity personified. I give, give, give. And even though I give, and sometimes I'm taken, as the term is, they've only hurt themselves. They haven't hurt me, because I know who I am. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.